Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Story.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Die.
I have had 3 cryptid encounters in my life so far. My first encounter with something I believe to be beyond my comprehension was on a backpacking trip in Utah. I was attending an outdoor program where we spent many months on end completely submersed deep in the wilderness of southern Utah. My first odd experience was a series of glowing orbs I watched dance and drift across the canyon from me late one night. The orbs appeared sentient and glowing almost like a star in the sky. I watched these objects very clearly move almost intentionally behind rocks and trees. At first I assumed it was another person with a headlamp. I quickly dismissed this thought after considering where I was at the moment, and the erratic, unexplainable movement of these orbs. This is something I'd come to experience several times over my course in Utah. These encounters were not fear-invoking, and rather peaceful to watch. Although they would make your hair stand up, and you'd watch your back a little closer. My second experience happened at a farm I was working on for a summer located on a small island about 10 miles off the coast of the mainland. I was driving down a slow back road one night with a friend, and we pulled off to have a smoke, and as we sat we watched something rustling in the bushes, but didn't think much of it because there were many cattle and animals about the island. It soon appeared, and was a simple deer like we see every day. It remained in our view for quite some time and appeared possibly injured on its neck. Still nothing too out of the ordinary. What happened after is what leads me to count this as a cryptid encounter. After watching this deer for some time, it quickly turned to look at something in the distance and shot up on its rear legs and sprinted off into the bushes with ease. While absolutely horrifying, I chalk this up to an injured animal that was using its rear legs like this out of adrenaline. Yet this still does not at all satisfy what I saw that night. My third encounter is to date my strangest and most unsettling. I was attending a folk school as a much younger man in Svalbard, Norway. One weekend a group of friends and I visited a remote fishing village where one of them had a family cabin. There were a few other houses in the area and the normal locals that my friends seemed to be aware of. This region of Norway has a lot of old-style Norwegians who speak an uncommon dialect of the language. Me being an international student at the time had no hope of understanding them, even my Norwegian peers could barely communicate with them. One night while returning from checking crab pots, we ran into a friendly-seeming elderly man dressed like he was in a medieval reenactment who approached us with a smile. I stood back and let my friends interact as I could not participate in the conversation due to the language barrier. I almost immediately realized that everyone else was also having trouble understanding him. He spoke what sounded exactly like Norwegian, yet nobody in the group filled with native-born Norwegians could understand a lick of what he was saying. I assumed he was possibly speaking Swedish, which is roughly the same, but was told that it couldn't be the case. I know a fair amount of European languages to varying extents, and so did the people I was with, yet none of us could pick up on a single word or phrase or anything. But the man kept speaking. At this point, it was almost apparent that he knew we couldn't understand him. But didn't care. We walked away and thought to ourselves, while that guy was nuts, hopefully the old man can find some sanity. This was the obvious thought process after such an interaction. However, this was not the end of our encounters. Over the next week, we would see this man almost every evening quickly navigating the rocky terrain of the shoreline. He moved with an unnatural prowess for any human being, yet alone such an old decrepit man. I found this odd but didn't bother saying anything. As there's plenty of old fit dudes there. Things became undeniable after an encounter we had almost a week after the first. A small group of us had taken sea kayaks up the Efjord for an overnight trip, before we had to return to school. We paddled about 30 kilometers up the fjord from the village, the first day to a beautiful beach where we tied up the boats and hiked up to a shelter where we could cook and pitch tents. As the sun set over the fjord, we watched as we had every night before. Almost like clockwork, we saw the same man scurrying with unnatural speed across the rocks coming right towards us. No boat in sight. This is an island region with no roads or bridges, only accessible by boat. The man kept his pace towards us and breezed right by without acknowledging us. The overwhelming feeling of freezing cold air I felt when he moved by us is unlike anything I have ever felt. I am feeling it just typing this out. His ability to seemingly move unbound by the laws of time and physics, and his language imitation gibber and strange looks is enough for me to call this cryptid. Whatever this was, wasn't human. At this point, all of us recognized that something wasn't right. We slept, and left the next morning back for the village. When we returned, we brought up our experience with family friends of my friends. They had no knowledge or recollection of this man. Nobody had ever seen him before. At this point, we were properly shaken and ready to leave. We packed our things at the cabin and loaded onto the boat. As we pulled around the first bend in the fjord hugging the shore, we see, again, you guessed it, our old pal standing on the shore staring dead at us. I decided I'd spill all this out into words before I forget, so it's just run on thought. If anyone has experienced similar events, or has any explanations I haven't thought of, that's why I'm posting this, so yay. Cool. "35-year-old male here. I grew up in Kansas until I was 12. My grandparents lived in Sedalia, and I would visit them a few times a year and stay for about a week. They had a huge basement that I would play in regularly, and there was one time when I felt tired, so I fell asleep on the couch for a little while. Now, here's the weird part. When I awoke, I looked up to see something strange. I'll do my best to describe what I saw. It was about 5 feet tall, covered in shaggy brown fur, with large eyes and teeth. It almost kind of looked like Sweetums from the Muppets. Anyway, I looked up, and he was tiptoeing toward me. When he realized I had woken up and seen him, he froze, and then instantly disappeared. I kinda just sat there, not realizing what happened, or if what I'd just seen had been real or not. I went upstairs afterwards and avoided going down there for a while because I was a bit weirded out. One thing I want to add is that I never felt like it was dangerous, and to be honest, there was a blanket at my feet, and I kind of got the impression he was going to pull the blanket over me, which seems weird. I did a lot of research, and the best possible answer I can come up with is that he was a brownie or some kind of fae that maybe followed my great-grandparents from Ireland or something. I've never seen a ghost or a UFO or anything cool like that. This is it, and I have no idea what it was. If anyone has any ideas of what I might have seen, please share your thoughts." So, this is a story my mother has told me. These sightings came from Michigan, northwest of Flint, south of Saginaw. The story goes that my parents were driving at night on All Hallows Eve, around 1976-1979, when suddenly a large, slender or lanky feline animal crossed the street, making them slam on the brakes. When this thing turned its head to look at them, my parents were horrified to see that it had a human face. This happened the following year, same road, and same day, All Hallows Eve. I don't have many more details. My mother was raised in a family from northern Michigan where strange things would happen in the forest, but no one would talk about it. So, anytime she would start to bring this up, my father or another family member would shut her down. I am the curious type. I like to have facts and knowledge. So, if anyone has heard of anything like this before, either in Native American mythology or knows of things happening in that area, please let me know. The only thing I can think of is a skinwalker. However, my mother has said it was known that there was a government facility in the area too. So, I live in central Kansas, not too far off a reservation on a farm that was established roughly around 1858 or so. I just moved out here about 2 weeks ago, and there has been something stalking the farm. At first I thought it was coyotes or even feral dogs and took appropriate measures. Yes, we have livestock guardian dogs, and they do their job. But tonight both my boyfriend and I saw something that really doesn't fit any local wildlife. The first time I saw it was around 9 p.m, and it was about 25-40 foot away with grayish fur. But it covered somewhere around half an acre to an acre in a matter of moments. Like, bring a BB gun up to bear, mind you. I thought it was a coyote and just wanted to scare it off from my chickens, not trying to injure it, and it was big, very, very big. By the time it got to the tree line and looked back at me forward-facing eyes, it was every bit of 7-10 feet tall. About an hour and a half later, my boyfriend and I were back outside, and we both saw it at that point much, much, much closer, just across the road. Maybe 75 feet away, and it was every bit of the same 7-10 feet tall, with a bipedal gait snapping full-size tree branches. If you've ever heard a tree branch break, you know what I'm talking about, and it went from being dog level to the ground to being taller than us from that far away, while standing in a creek bed. Also, potentially unrelated, we have heard voices outside that were most definitely not human, and not a cat or animal vocalizing. So there's that too. Yes, I am a pagan. Yes, I am a witch. No, I don't have my usual wards and such up because I frankly haven't had time. And there are leftover protections from one of the previous owners, my boyfriend's now deceased GMA, such as an intense amount of wind chimes, dream catchers, and similar talismans. Any ideas or suggestions? Stories are welcome too. Just trying to get a handle on what the next steps might be for us at this point. On April 26, 2014, my best friend 18 and I 19 were driving back to his house from Bible study at church. It was between 9 p.m. and 10 p.m. About a mile and a half or so turning onto a long country road that led to the small township he lived in, we saw a fire on the left side of the road and into a ditch. We turned around to get a better look and see what was burning. Being in the passenger seat, I was able to look down into the ditch and see nothing burning. There was definitely a large amount of fire that I could see through to the ground, but nothing was on fire. The ground itself appeared to be porous and folding inwards. My best friend had to pull my shoulder to get my attention, because I could not stop staring into it. A large amount of smoke started to pour out. He began driving again, but we eventually had to turn around to get back to his house at the other end of the road. When we reached the end of the road where we began, I dialed 911 to let them know that there was what appeared to be a gas leak that had caught fire in this ditch. We drove past the fire again, but it had died down a bit. However, now there's smaller little tufts of flame on the ground. One after another, they led away from the ditch. While I was turned around looking back over my shoulder, my friend slammed onto his brakes, and I heard him say, "Wah," or "Oh." Walking out horizontally into the road from the trees on the same side of the road that the fire was on, was something that does not fit any description of anything I have heard from stories before. My brain needs me to itemize its descriptions as I remember noticing them. Black. Big as a sedan. On four legs. Shaggy black fur from its shoulder to its head. Emaciated from midsection to tail. Literal black skin stretched around bones on everything behind the shoulders. Canine-like head. Eyes very forward-facing. Eye are not reflecting light. Large, round, black and empty. Completely devoid of light. It blinked and the eyeballs were pressed inwards with the lids as they shut. This thing was between 5-10 yards or meters away, so I got a very good look at the thing through high beams. It did not turn to look at the car, its head was raised up slightly, as if it was looking into the car to look directly at us. I was not particularly afraid or fearful. However, when it looked directly at me, I felt intense feelings of dread and hopelessness being projected at me. My friend floored his old Ford Taurus and whipped it around the back end of the thing, and he drove 65 miles per hour in a 35 all the way back to his house. As we were driving, I asked him, "What was that?" With tears down his face, he sobbed, "I don't know, I want to go home, I just want to go home." We ran into his house and locked all the doors and windows. When we were finally able to calm down, we did not talk to each other much for the rest of the night. Over the next few days, I would try to relay the event to my family, beginning with, "I saw something the other night. And I couldn't stop telling them everything," while choking back sobs. I did not want to tell them, but they knew I was not okay. The intense feelings the thing put on me were beginning to take its toll. Almost a decade later, and I still haven't read a single story or alleged sighting of anything that matches what I saw. Since then, I've become familiar with regional cryptids and the lore associated with them. It wasn't an apparition of some kind because it blinked. I've not read any accounts of apparitions blinking, only closing or opening their eyes for some desired effect. This thing was definitely existing physically. There is nothing from my Statandiana that even comes close to fitting this description. Maybe our Black Panther or Porter Road Hounds, but those happened many decades ago and quite a few hours away. I work security at a department store in Detroit. This was back before all the craziness and the riots, even before COVID. It was one of the roughest places to run a business, so my job involved checking outside as much as inside, and there were always weirdos and drifters about. But rarely did I ever see anybody that looked like they were going to try to get inside. I had been lulled into a false sense of security. Since my job and my life revolved around the inner city, I never planned on seeing anything too outlandish, besides druggies and muggers, I never planned on showing up to work and suddenly being mauled by a lion. You expect that threats in the world will fit inside a very predictable bubble. Making my regular rounds one night, I stepped outside to do my usual check for any prowlers or potential drug deals going on. Well, more so prowlers. It was all clear except for the door that opened into a narrow alley. It was pretty narrow. There wasn't room for more than two people to walk beside each other, let alone room for a car. It was a little bit thinner than a single lane. I guess the light of the street lamp got in just far enough to light up the feet of two people that must have been standing face to face. Then there was a soft, wet sound like they were kissing it up. They were in shadows from the knees up, and they were just a little too close to the door for comfort. I lit up my flashlight and trained it on them. I was about to tell them to move when I saw that they weren't indeed kissing. One of them was eating the face off the other, holding them firmly in place. When the light got the attacker's attention, it turned to me, and I wish it hadn't. It wasn't even remotely human. It had wicked-looking mouthparts, something like mandibles. The eyes were black and large. I didn't get to study it for about a second since I screamed and fell backward. I don't know why it didn't turn on me as soon as I could think straight. I got to looking stuff up. Turns out there was a so-called Mantis Man that had been sighted around New Jersey, but it was never reported on much. I was reminded of the incident involving bath salts in Miami, and I considered the possibility that I somehow imagined the inhuman features of the one person since their face was smeared with blood. I'm at a dead end for rational explanations, and I'm also at my wit's end for my mental health. That was a very brief encounter, but I'm still pretty shaken up over it. If I approached a counselor, they'd probably have me committed. So who can I talk to and tell my story to? So I'll possibly pass this on to you. Maybe you can help me. I informed my best friend that I wanted to move to the more classic big woods to hunt. After some persuading, I convinced him to start exploring the Lake Itasca, Minnesota, Asca area, which by the way is the source lake of the Mississippi River. We soon found numerous miles of big woods and settled in the area of our opening day hunt of 1977. While exploring that area the day before opening day looking for where I wanted to hang my tree stand, I had an experience that while spending countless hours in the woods, I'd never experienced before. A tree fell in the woods. Yes, it does happen. However, what set this apart was that it was a glorious blue sky, no wind kind of day, just very calm breezes. The other strange part was that it fell about 25 yards away from me, and I was looking almost directly in that direction when it fell, and it was a live tree about 16 to 18 inches in diameter. There was no teetering. It fell over as if pushed by a powerful force. Now to the weird part. As I was looking in that direction, I could see movement, except there was nothing there to see, just a shimmering sort of thing. I stood there for a bit, then walked over to this now fallen tree, just could not understand what had just happened. After a while, I decided I needed to get on with finding where I wanted to set up, so I continued along that ridge line. Several hundred yards east of there, I found the tree I was looking for overlooking a yellow grass swamp that I had just known was the spot. I did not mention any of this strangeness to my friend or his brother, because they were both terrified of the dark, and the monsters who lived in it, and I really wanted to hunt there. I got a beautiful 225 pounds dressed out buck the next afternoon. We moved out of that area the next year due to the political issue of local indigenous people who had taken over that area and had incorporated it into their White Earth Reservation. So we moved several miles to the east and found some good new spots. Our friend's little brother was not the best woodsman, and one day he did not return to camp, so we set off looking for him. We had about 8 inches of powder snow, so we tried to find his tracks to follow. My friend went one way and I went another. After several hours of not finding his tracks, I caught a nice buck track, so decided to incorporate still hunting him and searching at the same time. I came down the ridge line into a lower area bordering an alder swamp, where the buck tracks then led back uphill. As I rounded a brushy area off to my left, I heard what sounded like a herd of elephants crashing through the woods. Again, these are big woods, so visibility was somewhat good, however, even though the sounds were coming from a very short distance away. There was nothing to see except once again just a shimmering of movements with an added twist. I will not say there were footprints left in the snow, but they were more like depressions spread wide apart and heading uphill, shimmering loud crashing depressions and nothing else. It was late afternoon, so I chose to turn around to head back to camp. Of course, my little brother was there waiting. I never hunted that area again because I didn't need to. I never could really quantify any of this until I saw the Predator movie. I cannot tell you how watching that movie made me feel. As stated above, I continued to pursue my outdoor passion because I believe I know what many of these creatures are, and I believe that I am protected by the blood of Jesus. In fact, I go into and out of my deer hunting areas with what I call severe dark, 2 hours before a light even begins to show. I wear all black clothing and carry in my camo or blaze clothing to change into at my tree stand. I do this because I've been shot at too many times over the years. I do fear idiots. I do not fear dying, but I do not want to die from idiots. In the spring of 2021, I was working as a security employee in downtown Chicago, Illinois. On this specific night at around 1:30 a.m., I had completed my usual rounds and then settled into the monitor room to check the footage. After about an hour, I took a walk to start my next round. Sitting all night can get tiresome, and I needed to stretch my legs occasionally. I would start at the ground floor, then up the stairwells, checking all crucial points. I'd check the entrances and exits, check to see if all the offices were locked up, and then I would head back down to the ground floor. When I got back to the third floor, the elevator stopped. When the doors opened, no one was there. I noticed that corridor lights flickering, and it felt a little creepy when that happened. I got back into the elevator and went to the ground floor. When I reached the ground floor, and after the elevator door opened, I made my way to the security room to watch the monitors. As soon as I sat down, I caught a fleeting glimpse of something unusual passing by on one of the surveillance monitors that was situated outside the security room. I could have sworn that it had wings, but it went by too quickly. I got up, opened the door, and peeked out of the room. My stomach started to churn. I could feel that something was aware that I was there. Don't ask me why, I just had that immediate sense of nervousness. I returned to the monitor room. I started to review the CCTV footage and pulled up the feed from a camera. As I watched, I saw the familiar scene of the empty hallway. Then I observed a hazy figure materialize on the screen. It resembled a human form, but its edges shimmered and blurred, making it seem dreamlike. The figure floated down the hallway. It cast no shadow and seemed entirely devoid of substance. I continued to monitor the ghostly figure as its movements became more erratic. Then, as it moved towards the front street door, it began to gain a more defined form. I immediately got to my feet and rushed to the door. I walked into the hallway and quickly moved toward the front. As I turned the corner, I saw a 6-7 foot tall winged being that looked human-like. It was very thin and dark in color. The wings were almost transparent as the light from the street could be seen through it. The wings were huge, I'd say 15 feet in total width, and unfurled. I was in shock. I accidentally dropped my flashlight on the floor, and the being turned and looked in my direction. That is when I noticed its eyes illuminated with a bright orange-red color. Then, in a flash of blue light, it vanished. It was totally gone. I stood there for several minutes in total silence. I eventually walked back to the security room, but the rest of the shift was a blur. I never mentioned the sighting to anyone, and I never wrote it in my report. Why? Because when I went back to watch the recording, there was nothing there. I know that I didn't erase it because there was no way that I could have done that. No mechanism would allow me to do so. I live alone, so there was no one at home to relay my incident to. About 2 weeks later, I quit my security job after finding another line of work. More recently, I was at a friend's home for dinner. He had other acquaintances there as well. As we sat in his living room after dinner, a discussion started about the Chicago Mothman sightings. I had never heard of the phenomenon, but I was intrigued by what I heard. That is when I decided to search online about the sightings, and that is how I found you. I don't know what I witnessed that night, but deep down I believe that it may be related. I'm hesitant to reveal the location of my sighting, because I don't want any trouble from my ex-employer. At this point, I'm debating with myself how much information that I want to disclose. Last night, me 16 male and a few friends whom I'll call Jim 22 male, Jack 22 male, and Jake 21 male decided to go skinwalker hunting. Basically, wandering around the woods like a group of fools. We split up into teams of two, me and Jake, and Jim and Jack. While Jim and Jack stayed in the woods, me and Jake walked down the creek a little bit. After standing there for around 15 minutes, Jim and Jack started heading our way, and Jim said he heard something. Jim led us to where he and Jack were sitting and claimed he heard something behind him, and that he turned and caught a glimpse of it. We decided to walk closer to the house, but chose to sit and go lights out by a wood splitter my dad has in the woods. After maybe 5 minutes of sitting there, Jim stood up and started repeating no, claiming he heard something walking next to us. We walked out of the woods and stood by the garage about 40-50 yards away from the woods. Jim was watching the tree line and claimed to see something crouching, but lost sight of it after a while. He ordered us inside the garage and started talking about whether it was a skinwalker or a wendigo. Now, it's probably important to note that we are in Crawford, Ohio, not near either tribe associated with the legends of skinwalkers or wendigos. I didn't see or hear anything out of the ordinary. I'm the kind of person who won't believe it until I see it, so that's why we were out. I want to hear your opinion on what it might have been, or if there was even anything there in the first place. Edit. The thing was described as light gray and 7-9 feet tall. Also, what Jim and Jake describe as a skinwalker is not even close to the actual lore. I'm from Bloomington, Indiana. I've lived there my whole life and recently moved out to Monroe Lake, one of the largest lakes in Indiana. Recently, I've been encountering noises and dark figures on the edge of my woods. I don't have any recordings, but I do have pictures. I would love to send them to you. I'm just looking for expertise in this field because I know for a fact there's something out here. I just don't know quite what it is. If it's okay, I would love to send pictures to you and see if you're interested in seeing what is going on out here. I would love it if someone came out and wired up some cameras. Maybe some audio devices to see if we can catch something. It's been happening the last month or two pretty much every other night. I'll hear something or see something. I would love to catch it on camera with you guys. That's a little better than my phone. I appreciate your service. I'll send pictures your way. Thank you. I just wanted to tell you about an incident that happened to my daughter and me in Patapsco State Park, Daniels area. It was August 26, 2015. Time was 6:45 p.m., the evening before school started. We had walked about 35 minutes down the trail along the river. We have walked this many times, but not this late in the day. We were coming upon the third culvert when we saw deer on the hillside. They were midway up the approximately 70-foot hill. They were completely still. I heard heavy footfalls but didn't want to alarm my daughter. We both have high anxiety, so we walked about 40 more feet and were looking at the river. I turned and walked off the trail to go look at the culvert. As I walked toward it, my daughter told me to come back because she didn't feel good. This means she is beginning an anxiety attack. I immediately turned to her, and that is when I heard an object hit the ground about 10 to 15 feet away. We both froze and she said, "Let's go." I wanted to find out what it was. I said, "Hold on a minute." That's when another larger rock or object landed only 8 to 10 feet away from me. My daughter got really upset, and that's when I decided we should go. We left very quickly. I noticed the deer still only midway up the hill. We have been interested in the subject of Sasquatch for many years and knew immediately that it could be them. But in Patapsco, I am still unsure if this could have been a Sasquatch. However, reading the accounts of others, it could have been. There was only one other person we saw on the trail, and he was running. The foliage was so thick and very quiet. My son and I had an experience with Bigfoot. We were walking in an unpopular part of Patapsco Valley State Park in Maryland. At first, we were searching for ruins of a town washed out in the 70s. He was 15 at the time, and we were not having luck. Right from the beginning, I got the creeps. We are in the middle of nowhere forest, and we come across an empty ball field with metal bleachers, and a shack that was open with dated equipment in there. As we were walking through the field, I felt scared, like there were eyes on us all around. I said nothing. About 30 minutes in, we realized we're in the wrong area. I was thinking, oh good, I failed my angry teenager again. He is going to forever think I can't do anything right. We see a burned up pine tree, and I stopped to take a picture. My son says, "This is lame, let's go. This is—"
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
This is where things get real fast. We turn around and walk 20 steps. He picks up a stick and bangs a tree. I look down and see deep footprints in the semi-dry mud. Those tracks were not there when we walked up. We take pictures. I jump up and down to try to recreate the indentation, and I can't do it. I then realize that we are being followed. Panic sets in. I declare a swift departure. I think to myself, is my child safer in front of me or behind me? That is a crappy thing to have to think about. I push him in front of me. He has a machete, and I have a stupid stick. We start to run and walk back. This is what we hear. Rustling along the side of the path, my son sees an arm. We hear the sound of a jug. You know the sound you hear when someone is blowing on a jug top. We see two different sized prints, small ones, and large ones. We run by what looks like bedding in thick, cool grass. We start to feel safe getting closer to the car. My son beats a stick against a tree. At that point, a giant roar and scream erupt behind us. So I grab the stick and scream at him, "Stop hitting the effing tree, we know it works, run." We make it back. I'm repeating the words I wish that never happened to us. He's repeating that's the best thing that ever happened to me. We get home and I am plagued with stress. My son said we have to tell someone. Oh man, I can't deny it, my son was with me. Thus began my contact with a Bigfoot specialist and a cryptozoologist. I would say to my husband, if the Bigfoot person calls, tell him I'll be back by 7:30. It was 2 years ago. I have thought about it a lot. I believe them to be real and not real at the same time. Somehow I think they are spirits of the forest. I also no longer care if people believe me or not. It happened and I have nothing to gain from the story. Also, I told the Bigfoot people to stop telling people to bang on trees. They hate it. For some backstory, I grew up on a property near New England, next to a lake with miles and miles of sand pits, woods and trails. It used to be a sand plant in the early 90s, and my three sisters and I have all seen supernatural things in those woods. One particular day, my sister and I were out riding our quad through the trails. She was driving and I was sitting behind her. We looked beside us and there was a very large black panther running alongside us. So close that we could have reached out and touched it. This creature was longer than our quad by at least 2 feet and the same height as the quad. Again, we were on a large utility quad going at least 20-30 miles per hour, and this creature was keeping up with us easily. We were in shock, of course, so my sister increased her speed, and this thing continued to keep up with us, not turning to look at us at all. And then it just suddenly disappeared without a trace. We turned the quad around to see if we could find any footprints from it in the sand. Nothing. There were even some deer tracks, but no big cat tracks at all. We never saw it again. I know most people probably won't believe me, but I haven't gone a day without thinking about what I saw. I would love to hear your input and hopefully an explanation. Please be nice, as I am 110% sure of what I saw. I was on a call with a friend just barely an hour ago. They're in Iowa and some strange shit was going on. While driving home, all the traffic lights were flickering, signs were going out, and barely anyone else was on the road. Even though it's late, people usually were out and about around this time. A bit later, they thought they saw a cable moving next to the side of a building, but then it crawled or scuttled onto the roof. And when they finally got home, they saw things that looked people-like, but not really moving in the shadows down the street. At this point, they pointed their phone camera down the street, and I saw the shapes too, plus a person walking across the street that looked like a faceless shadow. Any ideas about WTF that was about? I thought I would share my own story. This did not personally happen to me. For all I know, it could be totally made up. But it was so crazy, it just might be real. Back in mid-2011, I was working a temporary job as a data collector at White Sands Missile Range in New Mexico. I am a former military service member, and my qualifications landed me the job. Anyway, my job was fairly simple. I would document technical data on new communications equipment being field tested by the Army's Operational Test Command OTC. One of the technicians who worked with me was also a field technician for DirecTV or Dish. We would work long hours alongside the OTC staff and became good friends. Working long hours out in the middle of nowhere, storytelling became a good way to kill time. On one particular occasion, he shared a very strange story. He recounted working with a satellite provider out of Deeming, New Mexico, a small town west of El Paso, Texas. One day, a call came in about a service installation within his area of responsibility. He was assigned a partner, and they both drove out to the property to install the service. The property was a ranch house on the outskirts of the Luna County line, a good driving distance from Deeming, New Mexico. When they arrived at the property, they called the owner to inform her that they were at the entrance to her gate. A few minutes later, the owner, an older woman in her 70s or 80s, drove up to open the gate for them. They introduced themselves and proceeded to follow her back to her home. Along the way, he said, he noticed a lot of strange sculptures lining the dirt road. The sculptures were made of sheet metal, aluminum, and wood. He said they looked like huge wind chimes, windmills, and other odd forms. What struck him was the size and complexity. Upon arriving at the house, they got to work. Everything seems normal about the property aside from the sculptures. After an hour or two of working out in the hot New Mexican heat, he and his partner took a break. The old woman came outside and gave them some water and was very friendly. The old woman was very excited about her new service. She told the men her husband had passed away a few years back, and she could use the entertainment since she lived by herself. After installing the dish on the roof, the techs asked permission to enter the house to set up the receiver and run the wires. The old woman was a bit hesitant, but agreed to let them in the house. Once inside the home, my friend said both of them became startled. Inside the home were dozens of concrete alien statues. Yes, aliens, grays to be exact. They were lifelike, had limbs, fingers, eyes, and mouths, and he could see wrinkles and scars, too precise to be molds or copies. They were everywhere, in the hallway, in the kitchen. No two were the same. They were different sizes, some taller than others. There was no reason or rhyme to them. Some were staring at the wall. Some were in the way. Just strange. He remembered thinking, who the hell put all these statues here? Surely, the old woman couldn't have done that. Nonetheless, the men got to work and decided to keep their thoughts to themselves. A short time later, the woman broke the ice by talking about the concrete statues. She stated that her husband was an engineer with ATIS Air Force in Roswell, NM. In mid-1947, an alien craft crashed at a ranch there. She said her husband not only worked at the alien crash site, but had proof. He said the old woman shared her late husband's personal photo album. It contained typical photos you would expect to see, wedding pictures, and family portraits, but it turned strange when they saw old pictures of alien remains, and of the wreckage, almost evidence-like, with measurements. CSI-type stuff. He could not believe it. He surely thought this lady was insane or clearly pranking them. The woman went on to explain that government officials and engineers were able to decipher messages and symbols etched into the spaceship. Her husband became obsessed with them. She said her husband, along with others, were able to decipher that the origins of humanity were at the edge of the moon. Whatever that meant. She went on to say that was the reason behind the space race with the Soviet Union. That NASA's missions were some sort of cover-up. The real reason Americans went to the moon was to validate the evidence they had found in Roswell, New Mexico. She explained that after her husband retired, he was convinced that the origins of humanity were not at the edge of the moon, but at the edge of Luna County. Luna means moon in Spanish. Her husband and she bought a few acres of land at the edge of the county line, and he continued to search for answers and build those strange sculptures until his death. The old woman said that after her husband passed, she became depressed and very ill, and could not continue her husband's work. It was at that time that the grays started manifesting. At first, it was one, then two. Sometimes they would go weeks without appearing. But over the months and eventually years, they started manifesting in the dozens. She used the term manifest, meaning they would just materialize in and out of space and time. She said they were nocturnal beings and hated the daylight. During the night they would manifest and keep her company, using telepathy to communicate with her. She said they cured her illness and depression, and became very fond of her. She would spend long hours at night talking about humanity, our imperfections, and our destructive nature. She went on to explain that because they were nocturnal, during the day they would sleep or hibernate by turning to stone, as a way to protect their bodies from the sunlight. That is why she needed satellite service, because during the day she had nobody to keep her company, and she would get bored. My friend remembered experiencing strange feelings of being watched by the statues and experiencing the so-called funhouse effect, becoming disoriented at times. They completed the work and showed the old woman her new satellite service. She was elated. She thanked them for their service, and just like that, it was over. The drive back to Deeming was quiet. Who would believe them? Did they see what they thought they did? Was it an elaborate hoax by an old woman? They ended up sharing the story with those who were crazy enough to listen to it. When he shared his story with me, I was dumbfounded. Such a crazy story. Again, not my experience, simply a story that my friend shared with me. Real? Maybe, I don't know. Are gnomes cryptids? Has anyone else had a similar experience? So, my husband 24 male, and I 23 female have been sleeping in separate single beds with a bedside drawer in the middle, leaving a foot and a half or so gap due to him being ill, and me having OCD. The other morning, I woke up because he left the shutter open, letting the light in. It was exactly 7:41 a.m. I remember glancing at our clock on my right. Then, when I straightened my head, I saw a literal gnome run from the end of his bed to mine. Yes, I'm serious, a gnome. It had a pointed hat, a beard, and was a foot tall at most. I saw its arms move back and forth as if it was sprinting, and it was fast. I'm talking no more than 2 seconds, and it was gone. I was in shock and said, "See, are you awake?" he grunted. I asked him again, but louder because I was now realizing what the heck I just witnessed. This time he woke up a bit, and I told him, "Seriously, I just saw a gnome." He laughed, thinking I'm either talking in my sleep or joking. I told him exactly what I saw and told him to get your butt out of bed and check, because I'm telling you, there's a gnome under my bed. It's kind of funny now, but I'm still kind of creeped out. I've tried every possible explanation, but nothing fits. I have BPD, which can cause hallucinations when I'm stressed, tired, etc. But I've been fine for the past week or so. Also, I've had no hallucinations for about a month. My normal hallucinations are feeling bugs on my skin, and seeing shadow people, although neither were anything like what I saw. We have a dog. She's a French bulldog and very old. She can't run fast and also does not sleep in our room. The door was shut, and she was outside. I check for mice or rats with no luck. I've also never seen a mouse in my room before. Any other ideas would be great, as I'm not exactly fond of settling with the idea of a gnome living in my room. Also, we live in Spain. Not sure if that will help anyone's theories. Thanks in advance. Someone in another Reddit suggested I should post here as well. Hopefully someone here might have an answer to my question. I have been wondering about this for 36 years. When I was 8 years old, I was with my mother at a grocery store. I looked up and saw something I still don't know what it was. The creature was my height, or a little bit shorter. Quite brown, rough skin, and the head was more than one quarter of the body. Very broad figure. A bit human looking, but definitely not a human. It was dressed in human winter clothes in bluish colors. The face was huge with a very big mouth, downturned in a sort of grumpy expression. I didn't know what I saw, so I looked up 5 times to see if what I saw was real. I remember that because I was very scared of the number 5 for a long time after. Same with the color blue, because the creature was wearing clothes in different shades of blue. My mother didn't seem to notice anything unusual, and got a bit annoyed with me because I suddenly started behaving weird. She was tired and a bit stressed and just wanted to get home. I didn't say anything to her because I usually kept my problems to myself. I have been Googling this many times to figure out what I actually saw, without any result. I have never seen any strange things after that. What do you think I saw that time a long time ago? One day, while dropping off my fiancé, we were chatting in front of her parents' house, when we saw a cat morph into what looked like a tiny walking baby in front of us. We were chatting in my car when I pointed out a cat walking ahead, which was normal for her area. We kept talking as this cat somehow transformed from a dark cat into a whitish 2-foot-tall baby-looking thing. We had plenty of distance between us, but could vividly make out a tiny humanoid shape. This happened in Round Lake, Illinois, and we have no explanation for this or evidence, as it was just a random encounter at the end of date night. Let me know if this sounds like anything that's out there, because we seriously have no clue. Hey guys, so a few months ago, my best friends saw something in the woods. I was on a call with them at the time, probably around 8-9 p.m., nightfall in Florida. They were walking down a train track home. I'll call them A and E for their privacy. E heard something that sounded like a cow in pain, while A saw something big that looked like a lanky, thin cow standing on its hind legs. They told me there weren't any cows or farms for miles, as I don't know where the train tracks were, and they wouldn't take me. Do you guys have any ideas what it could be? Where do I start? I'm from south of France, near Marseille. In 2006, I went to a forest not far from my home, with a bunch of friends. We found a pile of strange rocks with an odd vibe. None of us felt good around it, but we stayed because we were curious, and we had a curiosity for paranormal. It was in June, around 9 p.m., the sun was starting to go down for the night. In the dusk, I suddenly noticed something strange, coming from behind a street lamp close to a camping road, a creature. Very tall, 2 meters or 6 foot 6 feet, ever taller, a dark and almost human-shaped creature, with humanoid face, decrepit skin, arched back with dorsal spines. Like the chupacabras, luminous yellow eyes, and wiry hair like Gollum's, but with more hair. The creature walked in the direction of a tree nearby, then stopped. It turned its face to look at me, its eyes went from yellow to red, and in a blink of an eye, disappeared. I told my friends who were with me what I saw, but they didn't see it. This vision lasted a few seconds only. During all these years, I thought it was just an hallucination, or something like that. But yesterday I talked about it to a friend who lives just across the street from the forest, and she looked shocked. When I asked her why, she told me she and one of her friends saw the exact same creature in an abandoned house in the same area, in daylight, in 2015. Imagine our surprise. When I first moved to Georgia from Florida in 1991, I moved into a house in Smyrna with my future first wife and her 2 kids. The house was a 2-story ranch built in the early 60s. The basement had a large family room running almost the length of the house along with two bedrooms. There were several windows on the back side of the house, up high in the room, at about ground level outside. This is the room that had the TV. The house also had lots of walls with large drywall patches, that I initially couldn't explain. Anyway, at night I always felt something was watching me from those windows, while I was watching TV. And it wasn't a warm and fuzzy feeling either. It was the kind of feeling of, I can't look out the window, because if I see something I will scream. Two weird, unexplainable things happened in that house, while I lived there that I know about. The first happened when I got home from work one late afternoon and went downstairs and laid on the couch with my back to the room, and waited for my wife to get home. After a few minutes, I heard someone walk from the direction of the stairs towards me and up behind me and stop. I figured it was my wife who was checking on me and thought I was asleep. Then I heard a big sigh and them walking away. Well, about 20 minutes later my wife came home, and I was all alone in the house. The next thing that happened was when my stepdaughter and wife were cleaning her bedroom, which was downstairs in the basement. They were cleaning her dresser together, and all of a sudden, a music box on the dresser opened up by itself, and then closed by itself. Both of them initially just stood there stunned and didn't say anything, and then came and got me. One day, our neighbor Betty came over with a newspaper article. She had lived next door for years. She told us that a hitman for the Dixie Mafia had lived in the house for years. His name was John Elbert Ransom, and Georgia authorities had him associated with 25 murders. At the time I lived in the house, he was in jail for conspiracy to commit murder. Betty told us all kinds of stories, including that when they arrested him, they cut holes in the walls of the house looking for illegal drugs and guns. I always wondered if one of his victims had come back to haunt him. Late last night, around 3:30 a.m., I was about to fall asleep. My night out had been cancelled, so I had stayed up, mindlessly scrolling through social media. As I began to fall asleep, I couldn't ignore a noise. It was as if it was in the room, yet it wasn't. I didn't pay much attention until I heard light knocking on my closet doors. My soul literally left my body. It sounded like it was coming from inside. My right closet door wasn't fully closed, a bad habit of mine. I shone my phone flashlight towards inside, but couldn't see anything causing the sound. Then the noise got a bit louder. It began to sound like a girl or woman crying, and it seemed to be coming from my closet. I'm easily scared and have seen enough horror films to know not to investigate strange noises. But the crying and knocking continued. I slowly walked towards my closet. Gathering my courage, I opened the right door. The noises stopped and I found nothing. Suddenly, I heard what sounded like a threatening hiss or growl nearby. I quickly jumped back into bed and stayed awake, keeping my eyes on the closet until sunrise. I usually don't take these things seriously, but I'm genuinely scared. Can anyone explain what just happened? I've heard of mimics but never experienced them until last night. At least that's what I believe was happening. I was sleeping, and I can usually tell when I'm dreaming, but at this moment this happened. I didn't have a visual of anything going on in my mind, so I don't think it was a dream. I was close to being awake, but not fully, and all of a sudden, in my right ear very clear and loudly in my mother's voice, I hear my name. I thought she was waking me up, so I throw off my blanket and check, but no one was there. My room was dark and quiet, my mom asleep in the other room. Shortly after, I heard something move in the hallway outside my room, and got creeped out even more. I could tell it wasn't anyone getting up to use the bathroom at the end of the hall, because the door would close and I would hear it. But the door didn't close, so no one in my apartment was up and using the bathroom. The only reason to be in the hallway is to get to the bathroom. I was so scared after that and froze in my bed, but I had to use the bathroom, so eventually I got up, turned on all the lights, and ventured out to the hallway. With all the lights on, I could make sure no one had been in my room. My door was still closed. Once in the hallway, it seemed nothing was weird or out of place in any way, so I was confused what even happened. I tried to go back to sleep, but couldn't because I was so scared. I told my mom about this in the morning when she got up for work, and she said a similar thing happened to her a few nights ago. She was sleeping and thought she heard me yell "Mom" right into her ear, and she woke up and yelled back, "What?" But she realized I was asleep in the other room. So now we've both experienced this, and knowing she did too makes me feel even more uneasy now. Does anyone have experience with mimics? So for several years, my wife and I believed to have dealt with something paranormal. It's followed us across every home we have lived. Going back 7 years, we had a beer bottle start rolling without tipping, a large picture lifting off the wall and landing perfectly upright to the right. Even a laundry basket being flipped off our bed. Since this, we have had tons of knocking sounds, walking, and our cats randomly watching something invisible move across our place. Fast forward to this AM. Two of my cats were sleeping together on their bed, about 20 feet from our kitchen. Our third cat was near the kitchen island, sitting there. As I was walking from our living room towards the kitchen, a 3 feet metal and wood sign on our kitchen sink wall flew off the wall, cleared a distance of 7 feet and fell straight down, hitting our cat in the neck. Though he is okay, I'm shaken by this. For the first time, it's tried to cause harm. Though it simply falling off wouldn't have caused it to take flight, I checked the wall, and the two screws it was hung on were still there. I hung the picture back up and tried pulling down, and straight out even, it did not budge. There was no magic gust of wind, as there were no windows or vents nearby. There was no one near it either. What the hell just happened, and how do I make it stop? This encounter happened a few months ago. For context, I 18 male live about 1 kilometer away from a shopping center, or just under a mile. The route I take usually requires me to turn two corners and walk straight for the rest of the journey. Although pretty early on in the walk, there is a tall apartment block to the left of the pathway along the main road. I would say it has about 4 or 5 levels. I live in a shady area, and previously the apartment block had a case of a stabbing that killed a woman a year before my story takes place. I witnessed the cleanup crews hosing the area down when that happened. This caused me to be pretty weary of the area in general. On this day in particular, I needed to go to the shopping center to pick up a couple supplies. I noticed as I started walking the pathway of the straight road that the sky was pretty dark. It was early in the afternoon, so this meant a storm was on the way. Not a drop of rain fell as I made my way to the shop. Once I had arrived, I picked up what I needed and went window shopping for a while. When I was satisfied, I exited through the door I had originally entered and began walking back home. I made it to the final set of traffic lights that was probably a 7-minute walk away from my house. The rain started to trickle at first. And then after that it poured pretty heavily. 3 minutes later I could see the apartment block about 20 meters ahead to the right. The rain was still pouring down and so the visibility wasn't that great. But what I could make out was a man in a dark green poncho. He had the hood of the poncho over his head, and a big grin on his face for some reason. As I got closer and closer to him, I didn't like the feeling I was getting. He reached his arms out almost as if he was attempting to bring me into his embrace, keeping that same smile he had before. The man was 5 meters distance from me when I took the opportunity to cross onto the median strip of the main road. I noticed his glance followed me as I crossed into the middle grassy patch. Even though there was no traffic, He decided not to chase me down and continued walking along the pathway as he kept eye contact with me. The thought of what might have happened if I walked into his arms still frightens me today. Even if he didn't mean any harm and was not trying to grab me, I still didn't like the vibe I got from him. And when I reached the middle of the road, I felt safer and relieved, especially considering he didn't attempt to follow behind me. I've kept this one inside for nearly 15 years now. Finding the right platform to relieve a burden is nice. When I was 15, I went to a show in Liverpool, UK with a friend. My friend told me he was staying at a friend's house, so I boarded the 25-minute train home alone. This was the last train home. At around 23:30, I found a seat and stared out of the window as the city lights faded into peripheral twinkles. Some 5 minutes in, my trance was broken by the soft croak of an older guy, maybe 50 with dusty blonde hair and aviator-framed glasses. "Hello, young man, are you okay? You look lonely." Shocked and confused, I nodded. "I'm okay, thanks. The name's Dean. Do you like smoking weed and drinking beers? I've got some at my house. Are you stopping at Crewe? You could pop in." "And no, I'm getting off at Runcorn," I mistakenly replied, cringing internally. I excused myself to use the bathroom. As I made my way hastily across the carriage, the twinkling city lights now replaced by dank fields and semi-urban decay, I peeked back, noticing the man playing with what seemed to be a needle. I speed up to the bathroom and lock the door. It was only 10 more minutes until my stop. The next stop is Runcorn. I don't think a digitized train announcement has ever sounded so heavenly. I threw the door open and bolted to the exit. As my feet touched the station floor, I felt a firm grip on my shoulder. Looking back in fear and trying to shake off the grip, I acted fast and instinctively. I shouted, "Dad!" at a completely empty on the other side of the gate. The now stumbling backwards Dean let out a "OF" under his breath and ran to the other side of the train. While I ran through the gate, sprinted all the way home, and told my parents, who told the police. We never heard anything. There isn't much to this experience, but when I was about 6-7 years old, I was at my grandma's house playing in the front yard. The front yard is a decent size with lots of grass, two trees, a bush, and a wall surrounding the whole front of the yard. I'm not sure what the wall is made of, but it's about 4 feet tall and brown, possibly some kind of cement. I was playing in the grass when I looked at the wall and saw a grasshopper at least 9 or 10 inches long. I was so surprised, but I wasn't afraid of bugs, and it captivated me. It was just sitting on the wall. I don't know how it was even able to stick to the wall due to its size, and I know I wasn't remembering wrong because I can see it so clearly in my head. I looked at it for about 7 seconds, then looked away, and when I looked back, it was suddenly gone. I have no idea where it went. It just disappeared. Does anyone have an explanation? Can grasshoppers even physically get that big? I think about this a lot, and this was about 9 or 10 years ago. In short, I was playing in my grandma's front yard, saw a giant grasshopper at least 9 inches long, looked away, and it disappeared without a trace. Feel free to ask more questions.